take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to look at a few texts. We're going to be looking at John 14, 15, and 16, just a few verses in each. Read some advice this week on how to avoid frustration. One man put it this way: keep your shoulder to the wheel, your hand to the helm, your eye on the ball, your nose to the grindstone, your ear to the ground, and you will not have time to put your foot in your mouth. And I thought it was appropriate there. We're looking at John 14. We're going to look at verses 16. Well, we'll start in verse 15. We'll go down to verse 18. There was a man that had always used an axe to fell trees. He had heard about a new device called a chainsaw. He wanted to find out about this machine, so he went to a hardware store and he started talking to a salesman. The salesman told him that with this power saw, he could probably increase his productivity, you know, 10, 15, 20 fold. And, you know, if he was chopping down 5 or 10 trees, then he was going to be able to do 40 to 50 trees. And it would be almost effortless with this chainsaw. The guy was quickly sold on this idea and purchased the power saw. He went home, immediately tried the power saw, the chainsaw out. The next day, he came back to the store where he bought the saw, threw it down on the counter, and he said to the salesman that this machine is a piece of junk. He said, you conned me into buying it. And the salesman said, what are you talking about? He said, I use this thing, and I normally chop down 4 or 5 trees, and I couldn't even get 1 tree chopped down. He said, the salesman was kind of in shock looking at this guy. He looked puzzled, and he said, hey, do you mind if I take a look at the chainsaw? And so he put it up there. He grabbed the cord and went, boom, started it up. The guy who purchased the saw looked at it and said, what's that noise? Now, he had purchased the saw, he had taken it home, and he never understood what he had. There are many Christians, and this morning in our text we're going to see this, there are many Christians who talk about comfort. They talk about going to church. They talk about Christianity. They talk about things that maybe the Holy Spirit, but yet they truly do not understand what the Holy Spirit does. And this morning, we're going to try to get to know Him. And hopefully, we will stop struggling in our own flesh and our spiritual lives. John chapter 14, looking at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We'll pause here. It's interesting, in this context already, Jesus says, and he shall give you another comforter. There's a lot of different words for the words another. There's different words, Greek words that could have been translated. But this word that Jesus chose means of the exact same type. So what was Jesus telling his disciples? Just like I have been with you for 3.5 years. Just like I have been here to help you and to guide you and to comfort you, I, when I leave, will give you somebody of the same exact type to comfort you, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Then look at down in verse 26 and 27. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then go to chapter 15. Jesus is still kind of discussing a lot of things in chapter 14, 15, and 16. And in chapter 15, look at the same verses, 26 and 27. It says, but when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And then look at chapter 16. Jesus is continuing his discussion with the disciples. And look at verses 5 through 7. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you. That means it's very important. It's very pressing, okay? It's important, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather here this morning. We believe that we are brought here for a purpose. We believe God moves in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we even know that he moves in the hearts and lives of the unsaved. And Lord, you may have brought someone here. And as we speak this morning, we're going to be speaking a lot to Christians. But Lord, as we speak, if there is somebody that is unsaved, I would ask that you would convict them, you would lead them along in this idea of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in this passage even convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Lord, I would ask that you would bring that conviction both to the saved and the unsaved. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move myself aside. Lord, help us to concentrate on Christ's words and the Holy Spirit's conviction. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The word translated here, comforter, is used in the New Testament 5 different times. Now, we read 4 of them. All right, you saw in John chapter 14 and verse 26 the word comforter. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, we see the word comforter. John chapter 16, verse 7, and actually chapter 14 and verse 16. Those are the 4 times that we see the book of John use them. But then the other time it is used is the same author. It is John again in 1 John. In 1 John, Jesus is called, the Lord Jesus is called, and they use the same word, a comforter. The word is advocate. Remember in 1 John chapter 2, Jesus is called this. It says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That is the same word as comforter. Okay, the same word. Now, it's interesting then going back to John chapter 14 that Jesus, remember he used that word, I'm going to give you another comforter. So we see that Jesus is a comforter. And John knew that because in 1 John chapter 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then Jesus goes away and he said, hey, you have an advocate, but I am going to send you someone just like me. And that is the Holy Spirit, a comforter. It's used by John. And it has many, many ideas. The meaning is calling to aid us, calling alongside. The Greek word, we've kind of transliterated it. It's a paraclete. It means to call alongside somebody, to step alongside. The Greeks, in their writings, use this word comforter to mean an advocate in a court, or one who intercedes, a monitor, a teacher, an assistant, a helper. Now, when you read commentators and you read some theologians, there's a great debate on this idea of comforter. In fact, there are some theologians who do not like the word comforter. They say historically that this word cannot be used and they don't like it. Well, I've never liked pinheads. All right? And that's why they sit in a room and everybody falls asleep while they talk. You know what I'm saying? You understand that. Nobody likes pinheads anyways. And so they give them a salary, sit them in a corner of a, give them a little desk and let them get up there and say stuff. And nobody cares at all because we don't really care about this guy. Well, pinheads, they can think that. But as you'll see, as we look at the Word of God, I believe the Bible picked a really good word. I believe God, under inspiration of Scripture, gave us a great word, and that is the word comforter. And yet it's not just someone who comes alongside and has a hanky and wipes your tears. That's not the idea that the Bible is giving to us about a comforter. It's a lot more than that. A comforter, and the world has this idea of comfort today. In America, you know, you can read about comfort foods. You can read about comfort, all kinds of different things as being comfortable. And I think we get a different impression. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, is not somebody to pamper us. It's not somebody to just coddle us, and we will get into that this morning. What is the comforter? Who is the comforter? We're going to ask the Lord through his help to help us this morning. The Holy Spirit hopefully teaching us to understand what the office of the Holy Spirit is. We sing a song written in the 1800s, "The Comforter Has Come." Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, what? The Comforter has come. It was written in the 1800s by a pastor. There's not a lot known about it, but we sing it today, and we're excited to sing the song. But what is that comfort? Who is the Comforter? Well, you'll notice also, whenever the word comforter is used, or whenever in this passage Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, he uses a masculine pronoun, he, and he also uses a pronoun that indicates a person. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about an it. We're not talking about a thing. We're not talking about a ghost. We are talking about a real, live person. It is God. This is somebody who, when we are saved, comes and indwells us, and then he wants to take over. He wants to help us and lead us and guide us. And so, as we look at this, the first thing we're going to look at is the description of the Holy Spirit in chapter 14, 15, and 16. We see a couple of words. Chapter 14 and verse 17. Look at what the Bible says in a description. Even the Spirit of what? Truth, the Spirit of truth. Christ tells us this great Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will do his work. And he tells us one of the things that he will do is he will give us truth. He's called the Spirit of truth. And I think that helps us in understanding a description of one of his jobs. All right, let's go to another word. Another word, and we talked about this some, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So we see he's called, Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. Then he comes on later and he said he is the Comforter. And we already kind of described the idea of a Comforter. He is an advocate. He is a counselor. He is an assistant. He is a helper. He is one coming alongside. That is a description of what the Holy Spirit is. Look at thirdly, and you'll see that this one, most commentators will not include in their description of the Holy Spirit. But in the context, as I was studying this, I think this is a word for the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 27. Notice in the context, he's talking about the Spirit of truth. He then later on says he's the comforter. And then in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." Remember in the context, Jesus said, "If I go away, I will send what? Another." In chapter 16, he says, "It's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, then I cannot send the Holy Spirit to you." So Jesus said, "Who am I leaving?" What did he say? Peace. I believe that's another title for the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Peace. And it describes everything in these, the Spirit of Truth, a Spirit of Comfort, a Spirit of Peace. It describes a lot of what the Holy Spirit means to you and I and what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit, not. And notice what he says in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And what does he compare it to? "Not as the world giveth." Not as the world giveth. And we will talk about that in just a moment as far as the idea of what the world calls comfort. But the world has their idea, but Jesus says, in comparison to what the world gives you, I'm going to give you the Spirit of Peace. The Spirit of Peace. So then we see that's kind of a description. Those are words used. We have the Spirit of Truth, we have the Spirit of Comfort, or the Comforter, and we have the Spirit of Peace. But then what are the duties of the Holy Spirit? What does he want to do for you and I? Well, in this context, I think we find four or five, maybe it's just four, different things. Look at what he does in John chapter 14 and verse 16. All right, now, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, the first thing that the Holy Spirit does for you and I is the Bible says he comforts us. He comforts us. In this passage, he says that he may abide with you forever. So that's saying that one way he comforts us is that he is with us. He's with us. That means as I go through my day, as you go through your day, you are not alone as a Christian. You're not out there by yourself. Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, now, I know he was God in person, but I am so glad that Jesus Christ paved the way. And in some instances, it was almost as though he was by himself. But Jesus Christ said, "I will not leave you that way. I will give you another person called the Comforter." And so when you're out there by yourself and maybe it just seems heavy and it seems hard, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there, and he's there with us. So he can help me. He can guide me. He can give me comfort. He is with us. Notice in chapter 14, verse 26, he uses the same word, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Now, I look at that. One way that he comforts me is he's with me, but then he speaks to me. He speaks to me. And those of you that are Christians and you're growing in the Lord, you need to get a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ went back to heaven and he left the Holy Spirit here with us. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you when you're in church. He wants to speak to you when you're at home. He wants to speak to you when you're at work. He wants to speak to you when you're at play, wherever you're at. He is with you forever, the Bible says. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to come alongside, and you're having a hard time. You're coming alongside, and the doctor says, "It's impossible." And he's there, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to help you. He speaks to us. I think one way that he speaks to us also, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, guess what he says, the children of God. There are so many people that are saved, are not saved. I am saved. I am not saved. It's just like one of those little tulips or the forget-me-not flower. I am saved. I am not saved. Oh, I am saved. Oh, I hope there's enough petals. I hope there's enough petals to end up being saved. Oh, all right, I don't have to be that way. Guess what? The Spirit says he will come alongside and speak to you, and he will give you sure evidence. He will give you assurance that you are Christ. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to wonder, God, do you still love me? No, the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to come alongside and to speak to you and say, no, 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 you're not worthy. Oh, if it was up to you, it would be hopeless. Oh, but Jesus Christ, he paid the debt. He paid the debt a long time ago. The debt is forgiven. You are Christ. Jesus Christ comes alongside and he speaks to you. He speaks to you. But then the Bible says this. He says, he continues on in Romans chapter 8, and he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So not only how does the Holy Spirit bring you comfort, he's with us all the time. Now, for some of you, that can be good or bad. Oh, some of you, that could be bad. You know why that could be bad? Because you just took him. You just took the deity, the precious Holy Spirit, into that nasty movie house. You thought you were all alone. Not if you're saved. You just sat there on the internet and took in that garbage. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is with you forever. Oh, you let it come in through your eye gate and you have grieved the Holy Spirit because he is there with you. You see, there is a good and a bad to it, isn't there? Some of you, you've thought of the good and you're so happy. Oh, he can make me happy, but he's also there to protect you and to convict you about that wickedness that you're doing. You see, he comforts us by being with us all the time. And then he comforts us by speaking to us. And then he comforts us by speaking for us. You see in that passage? Sometimes you're on your knees, and sometimes the burden is so heavy that you're just there bowed over and saying, God, I can't bear this anymore. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside, and he is there as an intercessor, coming before God saying, help this son of yours. Help this daughter. They're hurting. They can't even speak. And he is there as an advocate for you. See the beauty of the Holy Ghost, the wondrous ministry of the Holy Ghost is that he comforts us. He's with us. He speaks to us. He speaks for us. The world wants you to get comfort somewhere else. They do. The world says, hey, when you're despair or you're discouraged, and you don't know what to do, indulge yourself. So go buy a new car. Go buy a new house. Go buy yourself a piece of clothing for your wardrobe. Buy something nice. Some people have tried that, and some people have even tried that with their children. They have not known how to appease their children. They have not known how to bring comfort to their children. And so then they go out and buy them something. And you know what they have found? There is no comfort. Some people run to friends. And so, friends, if I can amass myself enough friends, then I will be comforted. But I'm telling you that that will not bring you the comfort you desire. Some people say fame, maybe if I become popular. Oh, popularity is fickle. And you'll be famous one minute, and you'll be defamed the next. And so those that have sought these things, they found that fame is fleeting, and friends are few, and sorrow is now at their doorstep, and it's knocking, and they don't want to face it. Because they've sought comfort in the wrong place. You and I as a Christian, when we've accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is there. And one of his ministries, one of his jobs is to bring you comfort. Many years ago, there was a man named Simpson that built a house on Canford Cliffs in England. Now, friends and neighbors tried to warn this man named Simpson. They said, you chose a site too near the edge of this cliff. And the edge of this cliff was known for landslides along the coast. And they said the very weight of this house on the cliff is gonna cause another landslide and you're going to lose your house. Well, Simpson would not listen. He built the house right there on the cliff because he wanted this beautiful view. And everything seemed to be going okay, but then the inevitable happened. And his house fell down in a heap at the bottom of this beach. And it said for years to follow, people would walk by and they called it Simpson's folly. What was Simpson's folly? Simpson's folly, it was that he thought he could get away. He thought he could do this. Although others said, no, don't do it. And some of us, we think that we can get comfort from possessions. We think that we can get comfort from friends. We think that we can get comfort from fame. We think we can get comfort from some of these things. And as a Christian, you're running everywhere but to the Holy Spirit. And in essence, your life is a heap of rubbish at the bottom. And people walk by and say, oh, folly of that person. What does the Holy Spirit do for you and I? He comforts us. What else does he do? Look at John 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, look what he do. He shall teach you all things. What shall he teach you? A few? What is he going to teach you? A little bit? Is he going to teach you a couple of things? No, what does he include there? He said, what is he going to teach you? All things. Everything you need to know about your Christian walk. Everything you need to know as far as decisions in your life. He will teach you. He will help you. The Bible says in John 16, this was one of our passages, howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. What is another job of the Holy Spirit? It's not just that he will comfort you. He teaches you and I. Sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit. Go to his classroom. Check in. Sign up for his class. It doesn't cost you anything. The only thing that the Holy Spirit wants is that you do what he says. That's one of his requirements. So come in and sit down under the tutelage of the Spirit of truth. And what you will find is that all other foolishness and falsehood becomes really clear. Then all of a sudden the other people that you see are saying that I'm a Christian and they're doing some silly things. They seem to get twisted up with their doctrine. They get twisted up in their theology. And you say, how is that true? They're not surrendering to the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, the Bible says. He wants to teach you. Notice what else he does here in John chapter 16. He comforts, he teaches. Look at John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell thee the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, notice what he says he's going to do. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What's the other thing that the Holy Spirit does? He comforts you. He teaches you. Oh, and a great ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's why people don't like getting close to him. He convicts you. He convicts me. Oh, have you felt it? Some of you, you've run so long, you just think it's maybe a bad heart issue. I remember talking to an elderly lady many, many, many years ago, and she had been coming and she had been growing. And I remember sitting at her house, and there was just a smile on her face. And she told me, she says, I have never learned so much in all my life. I love coming to church. But then something happened. And somehow the Holy Spirit convicted her of something she was doing. I remember going and talking to this lady, and she was like, I just don't feel good. I said, I'm sorry. I remember sitting down and I said, I'm sorry about this, but the churches for years that you have gone to have not had the power of the Spirit. And so as you sat there, everything just seemed so happy, happy. But the Holy Spirit wasn't evident. And so now all of a sudden, you are feeling the power of the Holy Spirit, and he convicts you. And it's not just a bad heartache. It's not just a bit of bad potato in your belly. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit squeezing that heart and saying, no, you're graving me. You're quenching me. You need to get rid of this. And oh, you need to pray that this pulpit stays under the power of the Holy Spirit so that it can go out and it can convict. And if you don't like the conviction, oh, you can find a place that'll coddle you, that'll make it pleasant for you, that you can wallow in your sin. But you pray that this pulpit never gets that way. You pray that as in the days of old, fire would come down and lap around. And it would consume all that dross, all that sins of the flesh and the filthiness. Because the Holy Spirit wants to convict us. He wants us clean. And you should be happy when he convicts you. Say, oh, you know what? I don't like it all the time, neither do I. But afterwards, when the purifying work of the Holy Spirit comes in, and he washes you up. You didn't realize how dirty you were. You ever done that? You've been outside? Or maybe, I know that's one thing with these, these new workout shirts? You know, that wick away? Now, they may wick away some of the sweat, but I don't think they wick away any of the stench. Because I think I'm doing okay. I don't even feel sweaty because it's wicked it all away. And I come in, and all of a sudden, I was like, something's up. Something is ripe. Man. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't smell anything. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something in the garbage. We'll check the garbage. And then, of course, you know, we got kids, so it's always, and it's always true. We're like, oh, it must be Jake again. But then, I take off my shirt, and I'm like, oh, what happened to this thing? Wow, it wicked away the moisture, but it kept something, and it ain't good. You know, sometimes we think that we're all clean and we're not. There's a dirtiness, there's a filthiness there, and the Holy Spirit comes with his bristle pad. He said, time to wash up. I'm like, no, I'm clean. No, just let him do his work. Let him do his work. Let him clean you up. Oh, it may not feel so good right then, but afterwards, when you see all the filth running away, you say, wow, Holy Spirit, I didn't know I was so dirty. Well, sometimes our heart's that way. He convicts us of sin. And that's why I believe in the church. One man put it this way in the holy place of worship in church one Sunday morning. In the house of meditation, my courage was reborn. In the fellowship of silence, my duty was made clear. In music and the scriptures, in joy that he was near. In the call to high endeavor, in faith, and then in prayer. In the challenge of the service, I met my master there. Oh, that we may come to a place of worship. It has the power of God there, the holy place of worship. We said that he comforts, he teaches, he convicts. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Look at verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, notice what he says, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. What is the Bible telling you and I? The Bible is telling us that not only does he want to comfort and he wants to teach, he wants to convict, but he wants to guide. He wants to guide you and I. He wants to help you day by day. He wants to help you moment by moment. He wants to guide your steps aright, like the Bible says. Oh, Spurgeon talks about this, and he talks about a guide taking a man down into the caves. And he said, there are the beautiful stalactites. And he says, there, he weaves you around and he takes you to pools. And he takes you to all these different things. But then he says, then you've got to get out. Then you've got to get out. He said, oh, that's what the Holy Spirit desires to do. He will take you to see things that you've never thought you could see. He will help you. And he will guide you. But then he doesn't leave you lost. He helps you find your way. There was a young mother that asked her husband to take their 2-year-old daughter out for a walk. The husband was busy with a project and, she kept saying, hey, would you take your daughter out for a walk? It'd be good for you to spend time with your daughter. So with a deep sigh, he went and he grabbed the stroller and he started walking around the block in the hot sun. And a little bit later, on the second floor of their house, the window went up and he heard, honey, honey. And he was like, leave me alone, we're fine. And he kept walking around the block. After a half hour, his wife caught him again and said, honey. He says, what is it this time? We're having a good time. I'm taking her out. And then finally, the wife said, well, I was thinking, since you've been strolling around with your daughter's doll, would it be okay if you took her for a walk now? Now, what was happening? What was happening is he thought he knew what he was doing, right? He thought he knew the way. Stop bothering me. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to guide you. Don't push the Holy Spirit off and say, I know what I'm doing. No, you may just be wandering around with nothing in your cart.
And the Holy Spirit is there saying, no, 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 I know what's best. I know what's best. I know what's best. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide us. So lastly, what do we see? We see the demands of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he expects of us. Notice what he expects of us. In John chapter 14 and verse 23 and 24. John chapter 14, we've been looking at some passages here. John chapter 14, look at verse 23 and 24. It says here, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man, what, love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Remember, in this whole context, in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is saying, hey, it's expedient I go away. It's important because I'm going to send another comforter. But before, he says, you need to what? Obey me. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. You know what the Holy Spirit wants? What's the demand of the Holy Spirit? He wants you to obey him. That's what he desires. When he comes and comforts you, when he comes and he teaches you, when he comes and convicts you, when he comes and guides you, what does he want? Obey him. Listen to him. This is God you're talking to. And I don't understand it all. I don't understand how God can be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all three can be one. I can't explain it all to you. I can sit and tell you that's what our theology and that's what the Bible teaches. But my finite mind, my little tiny pea brain can't understand it all. And it doesn't bother me. Because I'm glad that I have a God that's smarter than me. And maybe some of you say, well, that's just not good enough for me. Well, maybe you need a God that is as smart as you. I am glad he's not on your level. Now, you can take that one way or the other. I'll let you figure it out. And sometimes I'm sarcastic, but I can't tell if I am there or not. But what are we saying? We're saying God, the Holy Spirit, is God. And he wants you to obey him. He wants you to obey him. He expects me to obey him. But notice in John chapter 15 and verse 27, the last thing, it says, and ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I think this is another demand of the Holy Spirit. Not only that you obey him, but that you testify of Jesus. One of the products of being led by the Holy Spirit is you're not ashamed of Jesus. You don't sneak around saying, oh, I wonder if they know if I'm saved. No, the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. The Holy Spirit gives you confidence so that you can step up and you're not ashamed to be named with Jesus Christ. In this passage in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16, he was telling the disciples, hey, I've been 3.5 years with you. I know I'm going away. I know it's hard. Don't you think the disciples are getting a little depressed? He's saying, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be taken away. I'm going to die. But don't worry, I'm sending somebody else. Now, don't you think for 3.5 years they've been with Jesus, they are a little bit worried? And then he tells them, hey, they hated me. They're going to hate you. Now, there is the power of positive thinking, isn't it? What a positive message. Hey, I'm leaving you. And they're going to hate you too. But Jesus says, I'm giving you the comforter. And he's the same as I am. He's the same as I am. And he's going to give you that boldness to testify. And what is amazing is in the book of Acts, you find that these disciples were empowered by this Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, In Acts chapter 4, they took note that they had been with Jesus. And they didn't understand the boldness that they have. Who is this? Who are these guys? Aren't these guys that stood with Jesus? And all of a sudden, and remember Peter? He was slinking over by the fire. He was cursing his God. But now he stands up and he turns, and with fire from on high, he points at us and said, "You have killed Jesus, and repent." And we see that boldness is there when you give in to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon tells this story, and I thought it was interesting. He said there was an atheist that lived near him, near his house. And he said he was very ugly to anyone that came about the Bible and talked to him. Charles Spurgeon said he asked the Lord to direct him. And he said one morning in his devotions, he seemed strongly impressed to read the book of Joel. And so he read the book of Joel, and he came to chapter 3, and he read the verse, "And sold the girl for wine." Mr. Spurgeon said, "I don't know why, but I thought, man, that's just an odd phrase." So he looked it up, and he found out that girl only occurred one time in the Bible. And that was it. A little later, he thought he would take a walk in a block and a half away. He looked up, and there was the atheist's house. He went up and knocked. The atheist says, "What do you want?" He said, "I'd like to read the Bible to you." He said, "Well, before you do that, you tell me how often the word girl is used in the Bible." Now, Mr. Spurgeon's mouth dropped. Because he said that morning, for some reason, he just happened to look it up in his concordance. And he said, "Well, actually, it's in Joel chapter 3. And he explained to him about it being the only occurrence. The atheist mouth dropped too. Spurgeon said, "Well, I don't know." And he says, "How do you know that?" He said, "Well, actually," he said, "let me explain. This morning, I happened to be reading in the Bible, and God impressed upon me to read the book of Joel in its entirety. And then I came to Joel chapter 3, and I saw this word, and I looked it up, and God showed it to me." It opened it up. The atheist invited him in, and Charles Spurgeon, in the next half hour, led him to the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of what to say sometimes. You don't have to be afraid of what to do. You see, when the Holy Spirit is there and comforting you and teaching you and convicting you and guiding you, you can trust him. Because why? The Bible tells us he knows all things. And he wants to give that to you. He wants to impart that to you. There is a drunken man that entered into his rowboat one night to cross the river. He picked up the oars, started rowing, pulling away. At least so he thought. He rowed all night, this drunken man. But he didn't reach the destination. Morning came, the daylight came, and he was surprised to find that he was still at the dock. The drunken man, guess what? He had forgotten to untie the rowboat. So all night, rowing, and it sure seemed hard. And you know what? Some of us in our Christian life, you've been struggling, and you've been rowing, and you've been doing all kinds. Man, I'm just going to do it. I'm doing this. I'm going to beat this in. I'm going to do it. I'm going this way. And you've rowed, and you've rowed, and you've gotten nowhere. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit come in? Why don't you let him untie you from the dock? Let him step in and guide you and teach you and lead you where you should go. There's a lot more satisfaction when the Holy Spirit is allowed to do his job. Let's have head bowed, eyes closed this morning. We've spoken a lot to the saved. And as a saved individual this morning, are you allowing the Comforter to truly come in your heart and do His work? He wants to teach you. He wants to convict you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to guide you. Oh, let the Holy Spirit do His work. If you're unsaved this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you don't understand what we are talking about, but you could. Because when we accept Jesus Christ, one of His gifts is that He gives us the Holy Spirit. And you can have that this morning if you're unsaved. We're going to have an invitation for saved. The altar will be open and you come down and deal with God as He convicted you. If you're unsaved, you come and take one of the hands of the men down here and they will help you find someone to explain what salvation is. It's not tricky. We just want you to understand what it is.